This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Just when Canadians might have thought that the proposal for a national ID card was dead in the water, Stockwell Day is attempting to bring it back to life. In his first week since being sworn in as Minister of Public Safety, Day has stated that a national ID card is inevitable. He has also expressed the desire to create an armed Canadian border patrol, similar to the one operating on the U.S. side of the border. Zuhal Suleiman is an immigration attorney and activist. He has joined us by phone this morning from his home. Good morning, Zuhal.
Good morning.
The position of Minister of Public Safety is a relatively new one that was just created in 2003, and in some ways it mirrors the creation of the United States Department of Homeland Security, in that it merges prison oversight, border security, and public safety. How has this ministry evolved since it was created?
Well, I think you're right in that it echoes very much what's been occurring in the United States. But for a very brief moment when Kim Campbell, I believe, was in government, and there had been some talk of creating a public security ministry, this has been the first time that they've been able to amalgamate everything together. I think it takes this kind of view that somehow anything to do with border security, emergency preparedness, oversight over a variety of these issues are somehow connected. And I think it comes from this view that given a threat, quote-unquote a threat out there somewhere, that we need harmonization of these security functions. As to whether it works better, as to whether we are more secure because of it, I think that's a whole other question. But I agree, it does seem to be echoing what's been occurring in the United States.
And does this then imply greater cooperation with the U.S.?
Well, I think that I can speak about the areas of which I know a bit more, which is around border security, immigration, issues of extradition, monitoring, surveillance. In those arenas, definitely. So in situations like the harmonization is the word they use of the border, there is definitely much more cooperation on who's crossing the border, what standards are being utilized to allow, for instance, for the transportation of goods and items, and of course of people. So yes, there's more harmonization with regard to who crosses the border, criminal issues, security issues, and then this notion of the ID card arises out of that. And that's a scenario where the United States of America, its Congress has said that I believe by the end of December 2007, some form of biometric identification will be necessary for individuals to enter and leave the United States. Canada has signed a smart border declaration with the United States, and I believe that the push for some kind of identification card for Canadians is directly tied to that pressure.
What does it mean now to have someone like Stockwell Day as head of the ministry?
Well, he's a man of certainly a colorful character, shall we say. He has some very interesting beliefs, which I think the media has brought to light in the past when he was the head I believe it was the Reform or the Alliance at that time. Having him in charge of security issues, for me, is a huge source of concern. Already you can see that he has floated the idea of arming border patrols. He has floated the idea of looking at a national security ID card. There, I would suspect, will be a tougher perspective on the part of his ministry to deal with refugees and immigrants. And you can already start to see, there was a Fraser Institute report that came out last week, which was picked up by certain media outlets. My concern is that given his past track record, whether we're looking at a much tougher time for a whole variety of people within Canada.
As Immigration Minister Denis Coderre put an ID card on his agenda in 2003, And at that time, his proposals were struck down fairly quickly. Do you think that there will be greater support for an ID program now than there was in 2003?
I'm not sure. I think there's a few. I agree with you that when Denis Coderre put this idea forward, his own caucus wasn't supportive. The majority of the Liberal Party on the parliamentary caucus that it established or looked at the idea wasn't very favorable, and I think public support wasn't there. I think it's one of those things that you put an idea into the public sphere and you keep pushing the idea. And when you're rebuffed, you keep pushing it again. So now we find ourselves in 2006 with this idea being floated again. I'm not sure that the numbers are there for the current minority government to carry it through. They would need the support of at least, I think, one other party. The question, I think, becomes whether a second party is so intimidated or so desirous of courting the security-minded agenda that they would vote with the conservative government. I'm really hopeful that it doesn't go forward, but it may not be a choice that we have. With pressure from the United States, with pressure from our European allies, and with pressure from the international air travel authorities, some form of identification may well be instituted. I think the forces at the play right now are fairly international in scope.
Do you think that there are still privacy concerns about an ID card?
Well, I think there's a tremendous number of privacy concerns. I did an interview recently where I heard that Meher Arar wanted to travel to the interior of British Columbia for a talk, but that he couldn't get on an airplane because he was on a no-fly list. And for the listeners, obviously a no-fly list is a list that's been put together predominantly by the American government with some Canadian government input that stops individuals from actually getting on an airplane. And the reason Meher Arar couldn't come to British Columbia is because his airplane would be traveling over parts of, I believe, northern Illinois and northern Michigan. So because of that, he couldn't travel through Canada. So there's an example where security consciousness, which we ourselves don't control, affects the mobility of Canadians and the private rights of Canadians. Great deal of data is being shared back and forth, and there is no transparency about who gets on these lists and other kinds of lists and who shares the data. So there are significant privacy concerns. The Canadian Border Services Agency, I think, needs to be more upfront about what's going on, as does the Canadian Security Establishment and CSIS and these organizations. We're dealing with some cases of racial profiling right now, where we're finding it very difficult to get clear answers about what's happening to some of our individuals that we're assisting.
What are your concerns about the impact the ID program would have specifically on immigrant communities?
Well, I guess we start from the premise that does the government have a right to seek this kind of ID from us or not? And if they then have the right to seek this kind of identification from us, what is the scope of the information that they need to have? Then we get into the point about what are they going to do with this identification? What happens if information is wrongly entered? Who enters information? Who assesses who's dangerous? How do we get off a list? We don't even know how we get on a list. How do we get off a list? If we are on a list wrongly, who do we speak to? Will they talk to us? Can we appeal this? What if we don't like the decision of the appeal? So I think it's the question really becomes, to what extent should the government be able to intrude in our ability to travel and associate with people and talk to people? That it really gets down to some very core, I think, issues of civil liberties in a democracy.
Stephen Harper made arming border guards part of his campaign platform. What Stockwell Day has mentioned recently seems to take that idea a step further with the suggestion of an American-style border patrol. What's the distinction between these two proposals?
Well, I think the first point about arming border guards, I mean, we have guards at the border, and the union has certainly been asking for several years to be armed, similar to the American side of the border. And the concern ostensibly is about armed individuals coming into Canada or being a threat at border checkpoints. I'm not sure that having being armed per se takes care of that problem. There are other ways in which to deal with armed individuals who come through the border, and we have a police system to do that. With regard to armed, some form of armed border guard patrol, we don't have that per se. That's not the way we function. We use the RCMP and local police at times. We use integrated task forces to do that kind of work. So we don't have this notion of an armed border patrol. And I'm not sure we need one. But I think the former issue about arming border guards might well have some traction, and it may well occur. With regard to the second issue, it would require the creation of an entire new approach to policing at the border. And I don't know whether it would be within Stockwell Day's ministry or whether the RCMP would take it over. That's a much larger issue for which I'm not sure that we have a need.
The U.S. Border Patrol announced recently that it will start patrolling parts of the Canadian border with helicopters and surveillance equipment. What do you think could be the result of increased Canadian cooperation with this kind of border policing?
Well, I guess the question really becomes, is that there should probably be a healthy Canadian debate on this, as opposed to kind of a creeping sense that the border is creeping further and further north somehow. As you know, a great deal of Canada resides within 100 kilometers of the border. If the border keeps creeping further north, exactly who's monitoring most of the Canadian population? So there's very little public dialogue on what's occurring there. Some of the emphasis on joint policing has really been around ostensibly, quote-unquote, the drug threat. You know, that's been the tenor of the discussion. Post 9/11, it's been around people smuggling and supposedly security threats entering the United States. I think that it really expresses an underlying desire on the part of our neighbors to the south to continue to manage the border from an American perspective, and not just their side of the border, I think our side of the border as well. So that's my sense of it in terms of where they're trying to go with this integrated border kind of initiatives. The question, I think, is what does Canada want to do about managing its side of the border? And I don't see a very active debate on that. There's a Smart Border Declaration that was signed in which Canada agreed to harmonize a whole host of things with the Americans. And there's obviously been security declarations that have been signed between Canada and the United States post 9/11. Where is all this going is a very good question.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me, Zuhal.
Oh, thank you. And I hope we continue to focus on these issues.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
I've been speaking with immigration attorney and activist Zuhal Suleman. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.